Going. Welcome back, everybody, to the Monday Holistic Actions webinars, where it's my honor and pleasure to help support you all. Tonight, we've got Dr. Christina Shambro, Dr. Jean Hovey, and all you wonderful people here focusing on the vitality and balance of our pets. And tonight, we're going to focus especially on kitty cats. And Dr. Jean, do you want to say a few words about your friends?
I do. I love these ladies, the two crazy cat ladies. I think they might possibly, although they're much younger, so they haven't had as much experience, they are maybe as crazy as me. Maybe. They're close. They're very close. So, Jay, Wave, and we've worked together before. I feel like I've known him for 100 years. It's probably only been a couple, but we've done a couple presentations together and talked about various things, and we're all good. So take it away, ladies.
All right.
Actually, before you start, Ruth posted, love the two cat crazy. The two crazy cat ladies.
Oh, we love you, Ruth. Thank you.
You guys, we're so grateful to be here tonight. This is so exciting. I love seeing all these faces of beautiful pet guardians, cat lovers. And this is just such an awesome opportunity to just all talk about cats. Oh, wow. We just got really big. Hi.
Yeah, hi.
Dr. Jeff, what are you doing?
As soon as she share, it'll go back down. I promise.
No, so we're so excited and again, honored to be here with you guys tonight. And we just wanted to go over some simple steps about living harmoniously with our cats. And I know it's one of those things. Cats are considered second-class citizens, and we learned this early on. It's our mission to debunk that myth that cats are second-class citizens, because they are not in any way.
We also want to debunk the crazy cat lady myth.
Yes.
Because we just decided to own it. Our friends had called us crazy cat ladies for years. We considered ourselves dog people. When we met more than 20 years ago, we both considered ourselves dog people. But yeah. Cats, or the cat distribution
system,
as we've come to know it, just kept bringing us cats.
More
so
cats.
Now we own what our friends have always called us, as the crazy cat ladies.
Yes, we own the title, and the cats own us.
Yes,
that's the way it works. So is it okay if we just go ahead and get started with the presentation? Okay,
yes.
We're gonna share Absolutely. Our screen here, and
fingers crossed for technology.
Yep.
Can everyone see this?
Yes. Good job.
All right. Awesome. Okay, so just to get started here, a little intro to us. For those of you guys that don't know, we are the two crazy cat ladies, and we've worked in pet nutrition since 2005. And we were working with my family business in supplemental care for pets. We learned a lot about the pet food industry. We learned a lot about how the body works and how the gut works specifically, but we quickly realized that it was very dog centric. And as Adrian said, we've considered ourselves dog people. We look forward to having a dog own us as well at one point in time, hopefully soon. However, as cat parents, we did not have resources available. We could not find them. And even in our own industry with people that we worked with, when one of our cats had an issue and we turned to them, they didn't know. They didn't have any answers except for, well, here's how it would work with dogs. That's all we know. So in 2015, we branched off and we decided to, again, own the title of Two Crazy Cat Ladies. But also our motto is to learn, share, and grow. So what we set out to do was become that resource that we so longed to find, that we could not find, and get the word out, learn as much as we can about cats, cat nutrition, cat health, cat behavior, everything that we could, share that with the cat community or the community at large, which of course brings together the cat community. And then we can all grow together as individuals, which I believe has really been awesome in the dog community. When you look at the dog community and how how it's grown, how the numbers of like dogs fed ultra processed diets down to, you know, back in 2015, even, you know, at that high percentage, 96% down to, you know, some low is like 80 or less percent of dogs now, because so that's what we have set out to do in our journey as Two Crazy Cat Ladies. And this picture is in these two pictures here. These are our twin panthers, Friday and Zorro. They're our oldest at the time now. And then this is our youngest, Annie. Under here, she was found on the side of the road. She was dumped on the side of the road. Can you believe that? She's so beautiful. She was just on the cover of a magazine.
But she's also a very good teacher. We have a feeling.
She has taught us, well, all three of these, and these are three of our five, but they have taught us quite a bit.
And it's worth mentioning too, I want to say, like Jay said, our motto is to learn, share, and grow. Our community is so, any pet loving person, it's just such a wealth of people that find different resources here or there, and they share them with us, and we get to share that with the community. It's just such an incredible collective effort, I think, to listen to our community and to learn together. And it's such an amazing experience over since 2015 to see the growth in resources just for cats and new and different things that are coming. So it's just been a really amazing journey so far.
We count our blessings every day.
Yes.
So I think it's really important to point out that cats are pets too.
You guys all know this.
I know you know that. I know you guys all know this, but it's really important because we see on a regular basis, of course it is getting better, but we do see on a regular basis, many places and people talk about, we help pets, just like my family business, right? We're here for pets. And then when you have a question about your cats, it's like, I actually don't know. I'm just here for pets, because they mean dogs, right? Cats are our pets too. They're not small dogs, right? So they not everything. There's a lot that you can do for a dog that you can also do for a cat, that you can help with dogs and cats together, but not all of it. Cats are a completely different species, and they require a different type of care than our lovely dogs do. But they do deserve the same attention and care.
And I think one of the biggest things I think about is when it comes to cats, and people will say this all the time, they're like, I want to get a dog someday, but I'm going to start with a cat. Like, they think that it's easier somehow. And I feel like dogs and cats are kind of lumped into the same companion animal category. They're obviously the most popular, but if you were to go out and get like a parrot or a guinea pig or any other kind of animal, you would also be getting the book on what it is that, when do they sleep? What do they need? What are their nutritional requirements? How do they, all that stuff. Like, we would be learning so much. Like, what do you need? What do you need in a bunny hutch? Right? Like, any of those things. And I feel like cats are a completely different species, but because they're so popular, they kind of get lumped into the same like cat and dog thing. And so many people have literally said to us, they think of them as practice dogs because they're so much easier, when in fact they are a completely different species with completely different needs and so
much. Not always easier. In many cases, they're a lot harder.
Yes. So we've tried to pick, and we could talk all day, and I know we're already starting to ramble, so forgive us, but we picked three of the biggest things that we have learned along our journey with our cats that we feel can be helpful as far as living harmonious, understanding.
Yeah. And supporting their emotional health. Like Adrian said, we could ramble on forever. We could talk for hours about all the different things, but we're trying to keep it concise. So thank you for making us create a PowerPoint presentation so that we can. Okay, so the number one, obviously food. I think everybody probably in the Holistic Actions has an idea of food as far as how important it is for our pets' well-being. But that doesn't just mean their well-being as far as longevity of life. It also means their overall emotional health. What you eat is how you feel, right? Same goes for us. Same goes for our dogs. Same goes for our cats. Enrichment is something that is so, so powerful. Even in longevity, when you look at the longest living cats, enrichment is so important for our cats. And it's something that is the most, in my opinion, one of the most overlooked things for our kitties. And that's why we have the misconception that they are easy, because they just lay around. They're more independent. Yes, that's true. But they lay around and do nothing. So we don't think that they need the enrichment that, say, our dogs do, right? So enrichment is one of the things that we're going to go over. And then energy. Energy is something that we have been introduced to since we started as the Two Crazy Cat Ladies. That is so mind-boggling and blowing, and also very exciting to learn of how our cats interact, how our cats' energy interacts with our energy. And so we're going to briefly go over a lot of those points as well. So let's just dive right in. Start about cat food, right? So our cats' species appropriate diets, I'm sure everyone here hears that term regularly. Our cats are obligate carnivores, not facultative carnivores, not scavenging carnivores. They are obligate carnivores. That means that they need the majority of their diets to be animal protein, right? Animal meat. So when we are feeding our cats a high carbohydrate diet, AKA kibble, right? If we're feeding them a kibble, high carb diet, much of that protein is replaced with things that are also high in starch, things that create inflammation in the body. Basically, just like with us, if you go to your doctor, if your doctor knows anything, at least if you go to your doctor and you're high in stress or you're not feeling your best, and they'll ask you, what are you eating? And if you're eating a diet that's super high in carbohydrates, they'll say you need to cut back on those carbohydrates because it's creating inflammation in the body and it's messing with your mood. Same goes for our cats. If we are feeding them high carbs, not to mention all the diseases that it leads to, it is also going to make them not feel well and thus not live harmoniously with us. Number two, the type of the feeding dish.
You guys, this is something that we learned years into having cats, but we always thought it was interesting. Have you ever had a cat, like, look at the bowl here with this little kitty cat? They always eat the middle of the dish and then they leave. And then they look at you like they're starving to death, but they only eat the middle of the dish. So whisker fatigue, I thought it was like two funny words put together. It's actually a thing. Our cat's whiskers are basically like incredible sensory organs. Each one is attached to their own muscle. They are there to help them with any number of...
They decipher their world. Yeah,
their world with their whiskers. Food, obviously, is a big thing for any living being. And when we put things in a very narrow dish, they're only going to eat the middle, because eating the sides is going to cause their whiskers to be stressed. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, we get it. Not all cats are as impacted by this as others, but we have certain cats that will eat whatever it is. They'll dig it out of some little small crevice somewhere. They don't care about their whiskers. We have other cats that cannot in a small dish. They will try to dig it out. They will do whatever they can to get it out of there. So I think just recognizing how much that actually impacts our cat's feeding.
Well, and you think about them as like predators, but also prey, right? So if we're sticking their head, if we're causing them to have to stick their head into a bowl to get the main resource that they need, food, then they all of a sudden their whiskers can't do their job of saying what's around me, their eyesight and the smell. This is something that we learned from Emma Rutherford from the UK. The smell of the food in a narrow bowl is so much stronger, as I mean, common sense, right? I've never thought of it, but yeah, it's so much more concentrated than if it's on a level playing field, a platter or a plate or something like that. So it's also a really great thing that we have learned. If you want to transition your cats to a better diet, then using a better dish for them rather than a narrow bowl is going to be so much easier, because now they have the aromas are not so concentrated and in their nose, and they are able to read their surroundings. So they know what's happening around them. So the type of dish that we use is so important for our cats.
And we use a platter called the Mind Pet Platter, which is cool because it's got little divots and a ridge around the, it's amazing to watch how our cats really feel so comfortable with that. But I think so much of this is about our cats' instincts. And you think about, oh, Dr. Jeff,
you got
with
one
with a Mind Pet Platter right there. Yes, that's exactly what we use, the small bone pet platter. I've got Madison.
Yeah, so it's So it's go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the instincts of our cats. Jay mentioned briefly, you know, they're little predators. We all know cats are little predators, but they are also prey animals. And I think that's a big, also a differential between dogs. You will see a dog just full face in the bowl and they're fine. It's time for food. When cats are eating, it's a vulnerable time for them. So they want to be able, it's not just about the scent. And they say so often that cats see with their nose because their scent is so powerful to them. So it's not just about that scent and leaving it out so it can kind of waft and make things more palatable to them, but it's also about their instincts to be able to look around and understand that they're safe while they're eating.
Yes. Routine feeding is also, routine is so important. You'll see that as a theme throughout this presentation, but routine feeding is also really important. So Ohio State University did a study a few years ago about on cats specifically and how important routine was, and taking them off when they were on a steady routine, and then they took them off their routine, the cats showed, like a massive percentage of the cats showed illness and stress from being taken off their routine. So feeding our cats. Now, this doesn't have to be, you know, obviously dawn and dusk is always going to be, you know, a better time, but it really revolves around what your routine is, right? What you can do, and keeping them on as much of the same routine. This means when you go out of town, you have a cat sitter coming in, whatever it is, keeping them on the same routine is really going to help them. They can't anticipate a meal, right? Free feeding is never a good idea, but I think everybody here knows that. But keeping them on a routine so that they're anticipating their meal, they're excited about their meals. They are ready.
Hey, girls.
As the cats fight right behind me. is so important. So routine is something you'll see in and out of this whole presentation, but very important that we try to keep our cats as much as possible on a feeding routine. Moisture, super important for our cats. They are desert animals. This is one of those cases that I say it's even more important for cats than dogs. Although we all know that, you know, we don't want to feed our animals, any of our pets, a kibble-based diet, but if at all possible, right? But moisture is so important for our cats because they are desert animals. They are unable to get the amount of moisture that their bodies need from the water bowl like our dogs can. Our dogs can actually lap up the like a ladle, right? They're getting their water from a bowl. Our cats, if you've ever watched a cat drink their water, they get like a drip at a time. Their tongue goes down. It's very funny. One of our panthers, Friday, I get it on video all the time because it's like, this is very interesting to watch her, because she just literally like gets one drop at a time, but her tongue goes down. Like that's all they can get. So they're unable, they have to have the moisture that their bodies need in their food in order to not live in an ongoing state of dehydration, whether it's mild or major.
I mean, the moisture thing here as well, when you think about cats drinking water, honestly, if we see a cat drinking from the water bowl on a regular basis, it's more cause for concern for us. And I think the science of a cat's tongue is, we could talk all day about that, but literally their tongue is made to scrape meat off a bone, to groom themselves. Like that rough tongue that we think is so cute, right? Or maybe a little bit painful if they're trying to groom you sometimes. It's not made to be a ladle like a dog's tongue is. It literally is, will get a drop, maybe two at a time. And I think it's so important to recognize that cats are meant to get the majority of the moisture they need from their food. So that moisture needs to be innate to the food, because that's how their body is going to really absorb that. And I think really just focusing on the moisture thing, that's where we see such an epidemic in urinary tract issues with our cats.
Kidney disease, so many issues that will cause our cats to not feel well and thus not live harmoniously with us, lay around, sleep more, not engage. Our cats are very stoic beings. So the biggest thing that we find, and that we found the hard way, honestly, is that we don't know that something's wrong with our cats until it's really wrong, because they mask all of these symptoms. And so knowing in advance that laying around on your couch all day does not mean that your cat is happy. That does not mean that they're just a love loaf, right? That means that they need something else that's more, if I mean, sure, they sleep a lot, but if all they do is sleep on your couch all day or on your bed all day, then this is not, it's not a good sign. And then also when it comes to food, one of the very important things is knowing where they need to eat. You might not want to follow her, but we feed our cats, walk us around the house, and they tell us where they want to eat. And some of them is the same exact same spot every time. And some of them are walking around waiting to find that one spot where they feel the most comfortable so that they can eat in peace, so that they feel comfortable eating all of their meals. I think, you know, finding that location that is suitable for your specific cat. Every cat is different. Some cats actually really like to eat up high. Our cat, our newest one, Annie, she wants to jump up on her cat tree. She'll eat her best meals if she's up on her cat tree. Others like to eat, like Zorro likes to eat on a specific rug. Friday wants to eat away from everybody else. So maybe under a bed or in a box or something like that. So you just kind of have to know your cats, right?
As a little rule, though, this is something else that I thought that was fascinating that we learned from Dr. Marcy Kosky with Feline Behavior Solutions. She said so often what we do with our cats' valuable resources, whether it's food, whether it's their litter box, we put it in a location that's convenient for us. Right? We go and put the litter box in the laundry room or in a bathroom, and we get a little mat in the kitchen and we put their food in their water dish right next to each other. Interestingly enough, cats don't really like their food and water next to each other. In the wild, their instinct will tell them to keep their prey, their species appropriate food, away from a water source so it doesn't contaminate it. So you can think about just separating that. And then there's a basic rule, which I thought was fascinating, is instead of putting a little placemat down wherever it's convenient for us and putting their food and water dish there up against the wall somewhere. Cats, again, back to that, the fact that they're also prey, move those dishes at least 18 inches out from the wall. And so you'll notice that they'll go behind it and put their back to the wall so that they can see peripherally anything that's going on instead of feeling like something could be creeping up on them. So those understanding those instincts of cats really does play into where the location of the food, the location of the water as well, to make it more comfortable for them.
Yeah. So food is such a major resource for our kitties. And I think it shouldn't be overlooked in their health. Yes. But also in their just well-being and
their emotional health.
And emotional health. Yes. Okay. So enrichment. Here we go.
Our favorite.
You'll have to excuse me. We're coming off of the flu, so I have a little cough. So enrichment for our cats is, again, something that is so overlooked. And by us too, I want to say that everything that we have learned, almost every single thing that we have learned, we learned the hard way with our cats. So, and we are judgment-free here. We are, again, just learn, share, grow. So everything that we have learned, we just want to share so that as many people as possible can grow with their kitties. So exercise is something that, as dog parents, it is, we take our dogs for a walk. They need to go out in the yard. They need to, get exercise. We don't necessarily think about that when it comes to our cats as much. So, but what DNA shows, the science shows that our cats, our household cats, our little kitties are exact 95.6% exactly the same DNA wise to a tiger, right? So that means that our cats, our little household kitty cats, need the exercise as much as possible as well. There are so many ways that we can enrich our cats. Everybody's situation is different. Not everybody can build a catio. Not everybody can take your cats out on a leash. There are so many different ways that we can enrich our cats and give them the exercise that they need inside as well. But harness and leash, giving them a catio, giving them a place to run where they are safe. Not just let them run and roam outside, but giving them a safe place to get that exercise is fantastic. But there are so many ways to also enrich with indoors with lawn toys.
Well, yeah, and I think Pam Bennett Johnson, incredible feline behaviorist, she has a couple books out, great resource for all cat parents. Realizing that when we're talking about play or exercise, that's really engaging their instincts. You know, when you think about cats and if they're outside, if you live in an area where I know Dr. Judy Morgan, I'm a little envious of her beautiful barn cats that have many, many acres to roam and just be cats. And it's fascinating to watch what they do on their own. They spend so much time grooming while they're awake. They spend a lot of time sleeping. They're spending this time hunting and they're
A
engaging
lot of time
a
hunting
lot
when
of
they're
time
out.
hunting. And so they're doing, you know, when we're talking about playing with our cats, what we're doing is really engaging those instincts. We're engaging the part of them that is cat, that the tiger within them. So engaged play is such a great way to bring them through the prey sequence. So it doesn't just mean Pam Bennett Johnson had a great tip the other day about don't dangle the wand toy in front of your cat's face. That's not how prey acts. What we're doing is we're kind of, you know, recreating that prey the prey sequence for them. And you don't get a bird that just sits there fluttering in their face,
No.
right? Like they're gonna hide over here. They're gonna do this. So understanding your cat's instincts really kind of educates us as to how to play with our cats. And not only does that engage their instincts and help their confidence and their catness, it gives them movement and exercise.
Yes, which is so important. And the number one for us, for our dogs, for our cats, the number one cheapest way to reduce stress is to exercise. Right. It's been proven everywhere. But that hunting instinct also goes into mental enrichment. So for a lot of us, we work many hours in a day and we can't literally sit there and play with our cats all day. We can't, you know, we may have 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. But we want our cats to be able to be enriched as much as possible. Mental enrichment is also one that just that part of the stimulation of the hunting instinct, just that part of the stalking of the hunting, of the prey sequence is so helpful for our cats. So, whether it's like, hang a hummingbird feeder outside your window, right? Get there's cat TV, which we recently learned about over COVID.
Our cats love it.
Yeah, like you can, it's stream free on YouTube TV or on YouTube. You can stream for free cat TV, and there's birds and mice and squirrels and all kinds of things that you can, so that your cats can have something, right? The sounds and the sights of something. If there's nothing else, you know, possible that you can do, hunting feeders, literally hiding some freeze-dried food, some of your cat's favorite
Snacks.
treats, some snacks, something like that, hiding it around the house so your cat has to hunt for their food, they have to find it, it's been proven already that it is a huge mental enrichment and a stress reducer for our
This
kitties.
is a great tip that we learned from feline behaviorists. But you think about cats that so many cat guardians are frustrated because their cat gets them up at 4 o'clock in the morning. They're like, oh, you've got to get them up early in the morning. When the morning birds come out, when you can hear birds, that's when your cat's like, oh, it's go time, right? So if we're not getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning,
Who is?
we don't. Jay's alarm is set for 5:15. If we're not getting up in the morning, these indoor hunting feeders are a great way to be like, ooh, it's time to hunt something. It's time to, you know, you go to bed, you give them a meal. Ideally, you do like an engaged play session before you go to bed, follow it up with a tangible treat or a meal so that it puts them into the grooming and the sleeping.
Yeah.
But then they're still up at 4 a.m. These indoor hunting feeders, I thought it was crazy. But again, how cats see with their nose, we hid an indoor hunting feeder in a shoebox at the top of our closet, and they found it.
And what she's talking about with indoor hunting feeders, you can make yourself, right? Like you can do this in any way, shape, or form. We did purchase it. The creator of the indoor hunting feeder is a feline veterinarian, conventional veterinarian. But she was the one that she started doing studies with different rescues and showed, and it proved that the reoccurrence of urinary tract infections, even still feeding dry food, because the original indoor hunting feeders were only for kibble, but still feeding dry food. So cystitis, really reoccurring urinary tract infections, cystitis reduced by a massive amount in the rescues because they were able to hunt their food rather than just giving it free fed in a bowl. So, but so they're just, You can buy them, I think, at Target, but they are, but you can make them also with a toilet paper roll. You can, you know, you can get creative with it. We, you know, we, if it's like they're raw food or something like that, you, we will just put it on a little tiny platter, but make it difficult for them to get to. It's not something that you have to purchase or spend a lot of money on.
Bonding opportunities. Yes. Let's talk about that. I think that spending time with our cat, talking with our cat, grooming sessions, these aren't just for bonding. I think it's so important to look at that, to have an established kind of, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but you know, I love to give our cats all like a rub down every month. You catch any bumps or, you know, lumps or boo-boos or whatever it may be. If you're always taking time to just check them out, right? But also when it comes to the biggest thing coming to mind to me right now is grief, right? When we live in a family where we have multiple pet companions and one of them leaves, how important it is to spend time literally just talking with our cats, not in the "oh, sweet muffins" voice.
They know so much more than like time and snuggles. Yeah. And you know, they actually understand us. Cats are magical beings. They absolutely understand us and our energy that we are putting out. When we spend that time literally one-on-one talking to them, letting them know what's going on, you know, it's one of the things that we have learned, as you know, 20 plus years as cat parents. And then, you know, you lose one and you still have some behind and they grieve too. And one of the best ways that we have learned to help them through that grief is to make them a part of ours, right? To literally
communicate about it.
Like, how do you feel? This is how I feel. I know you're sad. I'm sad too. We can get through this together, whatever it is. And they're the best animals. They're the best listeners. They really are the best listeners. So if you're having a stressful day and you come home, you can talk to them about it. You can tell them, "Listen, this is why I'm stressed out. Jill at work was, you know, a complete butthead." I just said butthead. I don't know, but she told me this. What do you think I should do? You know, like, I mean, but literally converse with your cats. It is a bonding opportunity, and then of course
we're infamous for the baby talk with our cats. But I do think whether it's grief, something really significant, or whether it is going through a difficult life situation to really take the time and communicate with our cats. The grooming sessions are also really important. It's not just going to help with your vacuuming or when it's, you know, when they're blowing their coat or something like that.
Well, have to detoxify them too. Right. You know, have them feel better.
It's a great way. I mean, I think play sessions are also a great bonding, you know, that really engaged play, great bonding experiences. I know Pam Bennett Johnson says twice a day, at least twice a day with each cat. And I'm like, oh Lord.
No, that's a lot of time.
How is that possible? Right. But as much as we can, and putting it, like Jay mentioned earlier, routine is kind of a theme here, putting it into as much of a routine for our cats as possible, evaluating our schedules and realizing, because I think it's interesting, if I go to the drawer where we have the brush, for our babies that love the brush, like that's a moment for them. They know something is coming. They're looking forward to it. So pay attention to what it is that your cat loves to bond over.
Yes. And I know we're already over time. So let's talk about safe spaces. Making sure that
your cat's preferences.
Yes. So they
like the high space. Do you like the hidey spots? If you've got a cat that's always hiding under the bed, I think it's really important to create a safe space for them that is a safe space for you as well. I know that Jackson Galaxy talks about this. He calls it blocking the unders. You guys, God forbid that your house catches on fire or there is a need to evacuate. But if you've got a cat that really likes hidey spots, that's going to be really hard to find them. So you've got to create those spaces for them, whatever their preferences are. And I think it's a great idea for cats to give both some vertical space, some shelves, some cat trees, some super high.
They change their minds sometimes too.
And some hidey spots and see what they really like. It's true. Sometimes they'll share territory. Someone really likes this box, but they'll share it with another cat on a Wednesday, right? So paying attention to what your cat's preferences are and providing those safe spaces. Not only is this great if you've got dogs in the house as well, they've got cat spots, vertical areas that the dog can't get to. Maybe they want to be fed up there, or they've got hidey spots where they can go and not be bugged by kids or
other cats or
whatever it is, but they're still safe spaces, not just for your cat, but in the case of an emergency as well.
Yes. And then novelty is something that we, that we've also learned just over the past few years. That's been kind of mind boggling to us that, so cats do need routine, but they also love novelty. So, keeping their same playtime every day is great, but let's switch up those toys. So you'll find, if any of you guys are cat parents here and you get your cat's toys, they play with it for 5 minutes and then they run away. They don't really care about it anymore, especially if it's not something that you're engaging right. with them. And so we have, you know, we've got toys all over the house, but they don't play with them, but for a short amount of time. So we put those away and we bring out new toys, or we bring out the old toys, right, that we had already put away.
And they're brand new.
And they're brand new. And they get excited about that again. Maybe moving a cat tree, different little things. I mean, know your cat, but moving things around in our home makes our cats really excited about it again. So, you know, we have a one fast cat wheel, right, which is the big like hamster wheel for cats where our cats run on it. If we want them to like get that exercise and use and utilize that expensive toy, then we move it somewhere else in the house. Where can we move it today? And then they start using it again. So novelty is also a great way to help enrich our kitties. Last but not least is energy, and how our energy and just the energy in the home specifically affects our cats.
I think this goes into that understanding the instincts of cats that are little predators. They want to hunt. They want to explore. They want to, you know, the cliche of curiosity killed the cat. Like, they want new things. They want to, and that's true. And some cats are far more adventure cats than others. So it is about understanding your cat's different personalities. Environmental stability, though, I think is something that's important because, you know, especially over COVID, we realized we had two kittens. Our Jack and our Madison came to us during COVID. They were abandoned in some boat somewhere, no mama in sight. We called them our COVID kitties. Anything, the door opening, oh my God, they freaked out. A person in the house, like very rare occasion during COVID, freaked them out. So when you look at environmental stability, there's always going to be something new going on, but recognizing how your cat reacts or responds to those things is really important to help them feel that sense of stability in their own space.
Yeah. And you will notice that, you know, there's certain people that come into the house, say the HVAC guy. Remember the HVAC guy?
Yes,
the
I do.
HVAC guy, right? Like, he was a lovely guy. He was a lovely guy, but the second he walked in, we could tell that he was not a cat person, right?
Meaning
he probably had some kind of fear of cats. Not that he's a bad person. He was a really nice guy and did a good job, but we had to ask that we had a different guy come the next time, because it was something about his energy that our cats were. All of our cats.
We couldn't find our Madison for 4 hours because she found the back of a cabinet somewhere that we didn't think she could get into. We thought she had gotten out.
Right.
So just recognizing how cats respond to different people. And if you do have people coming over that your cats are like, ooh, gosh, then
give them that safe space.
Give them the safe space, but also ask that people understand that this is a shared space. They're a family member. And I think it's important to, you know, do some positive reinforcement, have that person offer them a treat when they come in, do something that helps your cat realize that they're being acknowledged and that they're safe around this person.
Yes.
Stress level is a big thing. And this is one of the things that I don't think
scientifically proven,
but cortisol, when we are excreting cortisol, our cats, not only do they smell it, do they sense it, they absorb it. There are studies that show that a cat's cortisol level will go up when they're around a stressed out person. So I think it was Rodney Habib that said one of the best things that you can do if you have a super, super stressful job, come home, take a shower before you
interact
with your cat. But being aware of the fact that they are a family member in a shared space. I worked for many years as an executive assistant in a public affairs firm that many days were very stressful, and I would come home with that cloud of stress on me. And oftentimes you don't take the time to think about what we're doing to everyone in our family. Sometimes I would be considerate of Jay, be like, just don't talk to me for a hot minute, right? Like, for people. But understanding that our cats literally sense our energy, see our energy. Someone actually said once that cats see us as energy before they can even recognize us. That's such an important thing for us to recognize when it comes to such a special species. When we're coming home from stress, being aware of what our stress can do. And that also goes to the stress, limiting unwanted noises.
Yeah. we're talking about, we can limit, but we can't control everything, right? There's landscapers outside. There's going to be noises.
Our bathroom broke. I mean,
Right. You have construction work going on. There are things that you can't control, but we can help, right? So we want to limit as much as possible. I don't think we've not stayed home with our cats for the 4th of July in many
Yes.
years, because of, the loud, but we live in Las Vegas, Nevada. So it's, it gets really loud, for the 4th of July here. So, doing what we can. Music therapy is something that I actually wrote a college thesis on for humans, but we have found that with our cats, it can be super helpful.
Yes.
So there was a study that showed that classical music can help calm our cats. Now, I think our cats like jazz the most, but that's probably because I like jazz the most. Excuse me, but if we can play calming music, it is proven to help reduce our cat stress levels. And oftentimes during like 4th of July or New Year's Eve, things like that, where there's going to be construction and other loud noises going on, we play that music at a higher level to kind of drown out the other sound. So this can really help keep our cats calmed as well.
Talking to our cats as well, I think this is one of
We
those
just went through that
we
kind
kind
of.
of did, but think about it too when it comes to your stress levels. Like Jack, our boy, I will come home if I'm really stressed about something and I'll just be like, hey dude, I'm not in a loving mood yet. I'm gonna have to handle some stuff first. And it's crazy to see, like, he sees my energy. He'll be like, what's going on? And I'm just like, dude, I gotta get through this, and then we're gonna have some lovin's. And he's like, oh, cool. And he'll come up and rub my leg or do a little tail hug. Like, it's like they do understand. So never underestimate the power of actual conversation.
Yes. And then checking our energy is so important. So we talked about, all the proof of our stress levels and all of the things that are so important, but our overall energy often needs to be checked on a regular basis. And I'll tell you why. We just learned this a couple
In
months ago
January.
in January. So in January, we decided to do a dry January, right? We run a business, we're entrepreneurs. We run two businesses actually. We are constantly trying to make a difference in the world of cats, literally 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We pretty much have stressful lives, but we have always thought that we kept this under control pretty well, because at the end of the night, we sit down, we count our blessings, and we have 1 to 5 cocktails or wines, right? So we thought everything's fine because, we're decompressing at the end of the day. We're decompressing at the end of the day. And so,
Taylor too,
and we're
perfect.
counting our blessings, and we're so glad that we're able to do A, B, or C, or here are all of our, small wins. And we had no idea that the alcohol that we were drinking every night was contributing to more stress that next day. And it was like, we literally had no idea until about 2 weeks into dry January, where we decided to do a dry January, eat really healthy and just not drink for a month. And about 2 weeks in, our cats were getting along a lot
Right.
better than they were before. And we
And
had
just the
gone through
opposite. We've
thousands
got,
of dollars of BLM behaviorist and all kinds of
we have
work.
three girls that we're working through some interpersonal relationship issues with these
Yeah.
three girls. They're very feisty. They're all very, very feisty. And they're beautiful, but it was crazy. 2 weeks in, what a shift. We had so much more peace, and it wasn't just for us. It's just, this is, maybe it's not alcohol for you, maybe it's something
No,
else, but it's about
it'd be carbohydrates.
being aware of certain habits that we have and shifting it and watching kind of that ripple
How
effect in
it makes a
our home.
difference.
So checking our energy on a regular basis, being aware, living in awareness, because I can come home from somewhere and be like, "Ooh, I think Jay's a little testy, or she's stressed about something," or I can pick up on that. You think about how much our cats are so much more intuitive. And so when we walk into a room, how much our energy affects them when we may not even be acknowledging them yet. And that can really, really affect their emotional health. So something to be aware of. I
Yeah.
know we're getting close. Okay, quickly, quickly,
Okay.
quickly.
So we were asked to talk a little bit, which I think is super important,
Handling
about
cats.
tips for handling our kitties. So we want to just touch on that just a little bit. So touching and feeling your cats regularly is so important. If you can do this when you first get them as kittens, or you know, when they're young, it makes it a lot easier, but this can be done at any age. You just have to be consistent. So we want to make sure that we are able to, you know, everybody says, I can't pill a cat. I could never pill my cat. My cat would never let me brush their teeth. My cat would never let me look in their ears or clean their ears. And that's because we haven't gotten them accustomed to it, right? So if we are touching their mouth, and you can start just by like rubbing, and they're like, oh, okay, that feels good, right? Like we just start like rub their whiskers a little bit, and then we get a little bit deeper next time, and a little bit deeper, right? Like same with their ears.
The trick to this is being intentional in calm bonding moments.
Yes.
Where it is, Annie is a great example. She is a wild cat. She does not like to be touched. She does not like to be picked up. She does not like you looking in her ears. She does not like her paws being touched, any of that. We don't know her backstory. She's the one that we found on the side of the road, but it is about in those moments that I'm going to pick you up for just a moment. I'm going to look in your ears for just a moment. I'm going to rub your, you know, just a moment. And I'm going to be calm and I'm going to be intentional about this.
And then reward that with love or a treat or whatever it is, you know, like just like a good girl or a good boy.
Don't wait until it's time to give your cat a pill, and then you're stressed and then they're stressed. Right. And then it's not. So yep. It's about really establishing a comfort level there.
Yep.
Trying different brushes when it comes to grooming. At some point, our cats are going to need some help.
And it's great if we can do this regularly, right? Another reason that we want to touch our cats regularly is to brush them regularly. So there's a lot of different kinds of brushes. Some of them are really going to get that undercoat. Some of them are barely going to touch anything, but it's going to create a bonding experience, and it's going to get your cat used to the brush. They have these glove brushes on Amazon that are plastic, and like it's not anything like high quality, and it doesn't really do a whole lot, but it's a great, easy way, starting with a soft brush or something that makes it really easy to get your cat accustomed to being brushed. And then you can move up from there to a little bit of a stronger brush once they're used to like, oh, this is a good time. Okay.
It's kind of like the vertical space or the hidey spots, right? The lower, the high, give your cat options. Get a couple different brushes and try them out and see what your cat prefers.
Yes. When it comes to trimming nails, that's the number one thing that people are like, my cat would never let me trim. We were the same. Our cat, we never trimmed any of our cat's nails for many, many, many years. We did keep an eye on them. Yeah. Well, once we learned that we needed to keep an eye on them, we did. But we never trimmed our cat's nails. It would only be on their vet visits that their nails would ever be trimmed. So we learned the kitty coma at our holistic vet's office here in Vegas. Very interesting. And now our cats literally stand in line when we're like, it's manicure time. They literally come. We sit on the rug. They all come down. They stand in line and they wait for their turn to get their nails trimmed. So what it is. It
takes two people.
Yeah, it does take two people.
And you hook under their arms so that your hands are massaging the back of their neck. So their arms. So it's like right like that, right?
Right.
And their arms are up because you're hooked underneath. They absolutely love it. And so they're just sitting here in this
coma state,
letting you clip their nails.
Well, someone else goes through and clips the nails. Super easy. We have a whole blog on our website about it. But again, with routine, whatever we're doing with our cats, if we can keep them as close to a routine, we can't be perfect. Expected. None of us are perfect. We are not perfect in any way, shape, or form with any of this. But we do our best. We always do our best to try to keep our cats on as much of a routine as possible, whether it's playtime, whether it's when we scoop the litter, whether it's when we feed them, when we clean their dishes, whatever it is, we try to keep it as much on routine as possible to keep our cats living as harmoniously with us as possible. There's a couple of resources.
Couple things. Now, this is in addition to our integrative holistic vets that are out there, but some of the things that we have found that are really valuable when it comes to especially confusing kitties. Like we think we've tried everything. Animal communicators. I don't know how woo-woo you are, and that is fine. I thought it was the woo-wooest thing in all the land until we were invited to a fundraiser by the Animal Communication Collective, and they did a mini reading with us, and we picked our senior cat, Oliver Twist. And
he was perfect. He was in perfect health. Like he was always the last to be chosen because he was always just the most perfect.
But we kind of went in with like, we're happy to be at this fundraiser and you guys are woo-woo. She specifically said two of his discs in his lower back were causing him some issues. We already had a vet visit for a senior blood panel, all that, mobility test, whatever.
Next week.
They specifically said that exact two same discs. We were able to move into cold laser therapy. It was a game changer for our Oliver Twist and something that we wouldn't have known without an animal communicator. And we've used them many times with
Since.
many, yes. Energy healers. This is something that's incredible for, I think, us and our pets. But if we're going through something, or if, again, back to that grief thing, if we feel like we're coming close to a time where a decision needs to be made, this is something that can really be invigorating. I think a lot of people think as like, oh, well, I will, I'm adding you to my prayer list. I'm sending energy that way. This energy healing thing can be an incredible shift. And again, listen to your cat, you guys. I thought energy healing or chakra cleanses or anything like that was just really woo-woo. Madison
Okay.
Grace is who we went through with this,
And Pooh Bear.
and Pooh Bear. And it was just extraordinary. I didn't really understand everything that was going on, but just listening to some of the things that they
And then
asked for
watching the
help,
shift
incredible.
in them having someone who's trained in this. We are not trained. We are not animal communicators. We are not energy healers. We are not feline behaviorists. But being able to work with these people and just opening our minds to maybe there's something else that we can do that can help. And then seeing that shift,
Really.
that difference in our kitties and their overall energy in the home and how they get along and how they live more harmoniously, was super powerful. And then feline
Feline behaviorists,
behaviorists.
I think that this should be right next to your vet's number that you have on the regular. I think that this is an incredible resource, one of the most underutilized, because they can really, they've been trained in a way to help speak cat. So they can look at individual circumstances, a home environment, multiple cats, a new piece of furniture or person in the home,
Things that
and
we can't
really
see because
help
we're
us
too close to it.
understand how to help our cats be more comfortable. You know, unwanted behaviors is the number one reason that cats are returned to the shelter. Feline behaviorists can literally stop that cycle and save so many cats. So please, please utilize them.
Yes.
Okay,
All
guys, we
right.
gotta
So
wait.
that's it.
And
That's
these are
it.
all of our handles. Take a screenshot if you want to come join the community or come ask us questions.
Yep,
We're
we
here.
have on our website, we have a wealth of info on all of our social media platforms. We release cat tips 3 times a week, sometimes 5 times a week. On our website, we have built a cat symptom checker in collaboration with holistic veterinarians, integrative veterinarians, energy healers, animal communicators, feline behaviorists,
Herbal.
herbalists. We have worked with so many people to create
The time share.
a symptom checker, which covers about 90 different both behavioral and health issues in our kitties. Create protocols and suggestions for people, no matter where you are. It's not selling products. It's literally if you live in Dubai or India
India.
somewhere, you can find resources for how to help your cats with specific issues.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So we do have some questions.
Okay.
Let's
I want to make sure we get through at least some. So Anna is the one that's been most could hardly wait for you to be here.
Hi, Anna.
And do you have a recommendation for the best cat feeder, timed cat feeder?
Timed cat feeder. Okay. So there's one coming out that we've been working with. It's actually a refrigerated cat feeder that we're very excited about. It is now called, they've changed the name a few times. What's the last name? I don't know.
Junie,
Junie, you can look
so
up
cool.
refrigerated cat feeder. And so for, wet food, things like that. This is specifically made for those of you that are going to be out of the home for a long period of time. Now, the ones that we use right now are actually the just little cat mate ones. You have to purchase the like stainless steel because we don't feed from plastic, so you have to purchase the extra stainless steel ones. We do that for 3 of their snacks throughout the day, and it has the freezer packs that you put in it so that
It'll keep
to keep it cool, but it's not going to do it like overnight, right? It's just going to keep it cool for a
while
specific
you're
amount
gone.
of time. Yeah.
Great. Anna would love to have you. Do you have one of your cats nearby?
They all just
Angel,
left.
Maddie,
Okay. Jack?
well, I'm going to ask the next question, but if you get the cat, she'd like to see the nail trim thing again.
Oh, that would
So,
be.
and did you have the name of your animal communicator that you liked so much? We
So,
really have.
the Animal Communication Collective. So, you can go to animalcommunicationcollective.com,
Okay.
and they actually it's a group of animal communicators. Karen Dindy Smith, Meredith Tolleson, and Julie Hiert are the 3 that we work with the most.
Okay.
Karen Dindy Smith is our most favorite. We actually have a reading with her coming up as well. But they created the, she's the founder, and but they created all of like
the collective.
A collective.
They do a lot of charity work.
They do a ton of charity work for different rescues.
Excellent. Keep looking for your cat. Yve wanted to know, yes. He's heard different opinions. And so he'd like to hear what you have to say about whether feral cats, cats that are 100% outdoors. And I think it depends on the environment, like you talked about Judy Morgan's cats. But they could still get eaten by a coyote. There are coyotes there, you know. So he wants to know, can they live a long and happy life?
So the statistics are pretty clear, right? Like cats that live inside, according to the statistics, to the science, the cats that live inside live up to about 50? I think they've gone less. So it's like 13 to 15 years or something is what they say. Ours usually live closer to 20 or more. But cats that live outside usually live more along the lines of 3 to 5 years, right? So the science shows that it's drastically different.
That has to do with territory as well. I feel like that's, you know, so many, and it's not just the predators. Out here, we've got hawks, we've got coyotes.
We've got cars.
It's the cars. It's the other people. I mean, I think that you have to kind of take an inventory of what those threats are in your area. I think
you're completely right, Dr. Christina. It's really just more about where you live, because, you know, they're, if you have close by neighbors that use glyphosate, for instance, they use Roundup in their yard.
We've heard some.
You know, we had a friend that who had an outdoor cat, and it was you know, living pretty nicely out there until the new neighbors moved in. They doused everything to kill all the weeds with glyphosate, ran into the pond, the cat drank and was gone with the kidney disease within hours. So, you know, it really just depends on understanding what the threats are in your area.
So Murph Moorfield said that, and she's taken care of ferals for decades and decades in the Maryland area. And her last feral lived to 19.
Yay!
And there was a shed, and the ferals were fed twice a day.
Yes. Yeah.
God bless you.
I mean, look at the oldest living cats, like the oldest living cat, Cream Puff, lived to 38 years old and was able to run in a farm. Right. So they had a very safe outdoor space for her, but she was able to, you know, so she was outside. Of course, there's going to be more predators and you know, sure,
cats are also very
insane. No, Cream Puff is not the Austin cat, is it?
Yes, Jake Perry.
I thought he kept them in. I thought he had a garage they played in. I did not know they went outdoors.
Yeah, no, he had a farm. He was a farmer. They had a farm.
He was a plumber.
He was a plumber. He lived on a farm.
Outside. Yeah.
He also had an indoor theater for the cats.
Yeah.
For them to come in, watch cat TV and all of that.
I did not know that it was outdoors. Okay, that adds a piece. Because at the time the 38-year-old died, he also had one that was 34.
Yeah.
And now on the other hand, Gail Pope with Brighthaven was adopting cats 16 and older, often very ill. And with holistic approaches, she had cats live to be 34.
Wow.
29 to 30 and 34, but they were 100% indoors except for a huge catio around 3/4 of the house.
Yeah. That's our goal.
This year. Yeah.
And lots of enrichment. Well, yes. I just want, the last thing is noises. Do you think that we need to be careful about house noises? Like maybe not using the noise on the dryer when it stops, or maybe paying attention to how loud our phones are ringing. Do you think those things bother cats?
I think it has to do with, one, your specific cat, right? If you've adopted a cat at 16 years old and they have a history of being very anxious and worrisome, yes, please do those things. But you can also desensitize your cats to these specific sounds, right? Jackson Galaxy, I think, talked about, I don't know if it was babies crying, or there were certain sounds that you can play on your phone and treat your cat So that every time that there's
starting at a low volume,
starting at a low volume, like building it up. So certain noises, you know, when like, for instance, my hairdryer, our cats, whenever they first came in, they were always scared of that hairdryer. Well, I wasn't going to not blow dry my hair. Right. So it was like, instead, just treat them, teach them that this is a very positive thing and this is going to happen every single day and it's always okay. And then they can become trained and accustomed to
it. And I think back to the energy thing of it, if we're reacting to something, if someone knocks on the door or something like that, and we're like, what the hell? Who's here? Blah, blah, blah. Our cats are picking, and that becomes stressful for them. So, you know, I think it is about understanding what our cats are sensitive to. I love that you're being, you know, observant of what's bothering them. And sometimes in situations like when we had so much construction going on, people coming and going all times of the day and having to have safe spaces for everybody, we changed our Ring doorbell tone on our phone to just switch things up. Like that time is over. So being considerate is beautiful, but you're not going to be able to stop everything. You cannot not blow dry your hair.
Right. Because I have so much of it.
Reinforcement and desensitization.
So we are out of time, and absolutely wonderful. Lots of kudos there. And you were wonderful. Thank you both so very, very, very much. And we'll look forward. We will, everybody, I promise. We'll look forward to having them come back again, either next year or the next. So
thank you.
We have a video on the kitty coma. I know that we didn't get one of our babies to come back, but shoot us a DM somewhere or email.
Or a text message,
We'll send you that cat tip with the video. So you
perfect.
Can
see. Yay. Oh, that's great. Yes. Actually, can you, if you send that to Dr. Jeff, he can send it out. Can you send that out with this?
Perfect. Yes.
Okay. Well, wonderful.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you all. Thank you guys for coming. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.